Jonah chapter 1. I guess many of us will appreciate having a page number. It's page 927. Page 927. We're going to read the first chapter as far as verse 16. And Christine's going to do that for us now. Thanks, Christine.
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Amen.
Thanks, Christine. Lord, please speak to us through this passage this morning, and may we listen, understand, and obey with the help of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week, Robert introduced us to the book of Jonah, which we're going to be studying on and off for the next few weeks. Jonah lived during the reign of a king named Jeroboam II, who we think ruled roughly around about 760 BC, so a long time ago. And Jonah had some success as a prophet because he correctly prophesied that the king Jeroboam would have great military success. And under Jeroboam, the land was extended about as far as it ever was. So Jonah got some credit for that, and he was popular as a prophet. But as we study this book of Jonah, what do we think? What's the first thing we think about when you mention the name Jonah? Most of us probably think about the fish. Some say a whale, which is the popular version, but the Bible just says it was a great fish. And you'll hear all about the great fish the next time we turn to this passage in a couple of weeks' time, when Andrew, by that time, we'll be an expert on great fish, and we'll tell you all about it. But Jonah is about far more than just the fish. And my feeling as I've looked at this book is that even though it was written a long time ago, I think we're going to find a lot in this book that will really speak to us today about how God wants us to live. And as I read through this first chapter, there were three themes that sort of leapt out at me. And just to give us a bit of a marker and a reminder, just take three keywords from this first chapter. The first word is obey. The second is care. And the third is trust. Remember that. And if in days to come you think about that, what did Eric say on Sunday? If nothing else, remember obey, care, trust. First, obey. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. Oh, what was Nineveh? Where was it? Well, it was a very prominent ancient city because it was the capital of the mighty Assyrian Empire. Located in upper Mesopotamia on the eastern bank of the Tigris River. Today, you'd find its ruins in the modern-day city of Mosul in North Iraq. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, but Jonah didn't want to go. In fact, he did the exact opposite of what God told him to do. He went west rather than east, went down to Joppa, which is modern-day Jaffa, instead of going up to Nineveh. And the funny thing is that even though it actually cost him in various ways to disobey. It cost him in energy. It was a 60-mile walk to Joppa. It cost him money. He had to pay for a ship to take him to Tarshish. We think Tarshish was probably Spain or thereabouts, the Western Mediterranean, which for them would have been pretty much at the end of the known world. He went about as far west as he could when God told him to go east to Nineveh. It cost him because actually Nineveh was much closer than Tarshish. It's about 500 miles against 2,500 miles. But he went anyway. Even though for Jonah it would have been much simpler to simply do what God said. Jonah claimed to be a believer. He was even a successful prophet, as I said a minute ago. But he rebelled and completely disobeyed God. Which is serious. If you think about it, if God tells us to do something, we disobey. It's like us saying to God, well, actually, God, you're wrong about that. You're mistaken. Even though you're the all-knowing, caring, almighty God, I think you made a mistake here. That's what we say when we disobey God. And if God tells me to do something and I choose something different, I'm saying to God, I'm sorry, God, I know better than you. And that's serious, isn't it? But he disobeyed. And in a sense, his disobedience was particularly serious because you can read in the Bible about other people whom God called and they didn't want to go, like Moses and Jeremiah. But at least they had a discussion with God about it. And God, as it were, brought them round to his point of view. But there's no record of Jonah saying anything to God. God speaks, and without a word, Jonah goes off and does the complete opposite. Presumably, he must have thought that obedience to God's command was kind of optional. You can take it or leave it. So he fled in the opposite direction to what God said. With everything we read about Jonah, we need to eventually apply it to ourselves. What about us? It may be that even now, God is calling you to do something that you don't want to do. If you take nothing else from this study today, the best advice from this chapter and this book is, if God tells you to do something, just do it. Maybe that's a word for some of us here today. You know what God wants you to do. Maybe you read something in the Bible that's challenged you, or you heard a sermon, or whatever it might be. And God wants you to do something, but it's not what you want. It doesn't fit in with your plans for your life. But the Bible just said, well, just do it. It's not meant to be optional. And to see today, it cost Jonah in all kinds of ways. Got him into all kinds of trouble, totally unnecessarily. And the same may well be true for us if we choose to go our way rather than just believing God, trusting him and obeying him. And, you know, in spite of his rebellion, Jonah found that he couldn't escape the Lord. It reminded me of, some of you I'm sure will know, Psalm 139, quite a familiar psalm of David, where David wrote these words, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Well, Jonah found the answer to that, didn't he? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, that's the east. If I settle on the far side of the sea, that's the west where Jonah was going, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So, bearing all that in mind, why didn't Jonah just obey? That brings to our second point, care. The problem was that Jonah didn't care about the Assyrians. Actually, quite the opposite. The Assyrians were the most feared and hated people in the world at that time. They were Israel's most bitter enemy. They were like vicious stormtroopers who showed no pity and inspired dread wherever they went. And yet here's God asking Jonah to go a very long way to these nasty, vicious people just to tell them that God loved them and to give them, even to give them the opportunity to be saved. If Jonah went to preach to Nineveh, his friends would be horrified. They would be even more horrified if people in Nineveh actually listened and repented, because even Israel weren't always very good at repenting when God challenged them. So altogether, it was an unattractive option. Jonah would have much rather the people of Nineveh were destroyed, because he hated sinners, because they were sinners, and he hated not only their sin, but he hated the sinners themselves, the Assyrians. But God, even though God hates sin more than anybody, God loves sinners. Otherwise, he wouldn't have saved us, because we're sinners, and yet God loves us. And we've been reminded a few minutes ago that he loves us so much that he's so much willing to, in one sense, completely unjustly, he's so much willing to go to the cross to die in place of us. That's how much God loves sinners. So God hates our sin because it's against his whole nature, but he loves sinners. And God loved the Assyrians. God calls us to spread the good news to everybody so that they might repent. He called Jonah to share the good news, even with those awful, vicious people in Nineveh, that they might repent. And actually, God, in passing, God calls us to repent as well. That it isn't enough just to sit in a pew in church. It isn't enough even to read our Bibles or to pray our prayers. God calls us to repent, to stop going our own way and start listening to God and going his way. And if we don't do that, we're lost. And it's true for us here this morning. We may be as far as I know, everybody here is a very nice person. I find nothing offensive in anybody. But God knows, and the fact is, for any of us, however nice we are, however devout churchgoers, Bible readers, prayers we are, if we don't repent and turn from going our own way, we'll be lost eternally. That's a really serious message that we proclaim week by week here, because we need to know it, because otherwise, for all our churchgoers, we're going to be destroyed eternally, and that's a terrible thing. It's a danger for all of us. But God cared about the Assyrians. He wanted Jonah to care about the Assyrians and go and tell them the news so they could be saved. The challenge from this book, at least one of the challenges from this book for us, is do we really care about people who don't know God? Not just family and friends, I'm sure we care about them, but people who aren't part of our social group at all. Even people who aren't very likeable, or for that matter, who don't like us very much. Even people we might think of as enemies, like Jonah with the people of Nineveh. Maybe God is calling us, maybe God is calling you, to share the good news with some of those people who you don't naturally relate to. Even those who are different from you, maybe a different social class, different lifestyle, whatever it might be. Let's be open to God. Lord, do you want to send me to somebody? Is there somebody I ought to be talking to? Whether it's a neighbour or a colleague at work or somewhere where I go socially. Is there someone that God wants me? He's sending me to tell the good news to, as he sent Jonah to people of Nineveh. But the problem was, for Jonah, he was so immersed in his own community, he lost touch of the world outside. We are meant to be salt and light to the world, whether our world is Horwich, Bolton, even Wigan, wherever it might be. We are meant to be salt and light to the world. But isn't there a temptation for people like us to settle down in the security of our church community, quite content with the way things are and the people that we're comfortable with, just like Jonah? That's the second point. Obey, care. The third point is trust. And here we get into the bulk of the story in this first chapter. What do we do when problems and pressures come? Because the storms of life show us what we're really like. And as you read this first chapter, you can't help seeing the contrast between Jonah and the sailors. The sailors, even though they were seasoned seafarers, even they were afraid because the ship was breaking up. In a week or so, Sue and I are going to be going on a boat to the Isle of Man, and I found this passage disturbing reading. And I'm just hoping now our boat doesn't start to break up and they have to throw the cargo overboard or even throw me overboard like Jonah. It's worrying, isn't it? But even though they were in great peril, they took action. They took what action they could. They prayed to their gods, not that that would do them much good, though later on they prayed to the Lord, which did them a lot of good, and they lightened the ship by throwing some of the cargo overboard. But in the middle of all that action to try to salvage the situation, Jonah just slept. Whether it was exhaustion or depression, probably a bit of both. In complete contrast to the sailors, he made no effort, he did nothing, he didn't even pray. He of all people. It's said of Stanley Baldwin, who was Prime Minister before the war, you remember the Munich Agreement, peace in our time, that was Stanley Baldwin. It said of Stanley Baldwin that in a crisis, he would withdraw to his room. Or if it was a really acute crisis, he would go to bed. Jonah was trying to escape from reality. But it was a false sense of security, because he could never thwart God's plans, and the storm part of God's plans. Even in the storm, God was still in control, carrying out his plans and purposes. I wonder, when trouble or pressure comes, and I guess it comes to all of us sometime in our lives, sometime in great heaps of trouble, what do we do? A few options. We can panic. That's option one. Panic two, we can, like Jonah, try to ignore the problem and bury our heads in the sand. Or we could pray. But it's a mercy that we can't get away from God. Jonah was trying so hard to get away from God. And the great mercy was that God wouldn't let him. So in the crisis, God was still there. And that's true for us as well, that he's still there in our life. We may be trying to get away from him now. We may want to take a bit of this religion, but not get too serious. But God's still there. And even if you've been resisting him for years, even if you turned away frequently or badly, you've turned away from him, even there, he's still there for us if we'll turn to him, even if we're in a mess that's of our own making. I wonder, what storms are you facing now? And whatever the cause of them, are you trusting God? Are you praying? Are you seeking to know his will? Trusting God that if you'll let him, he'll work out his perfect plans even in your situation. Thankfully, Jonah's unfaithfulness didn't stop God. Jonah had turned away from God, but God didn't turn away from Jonah. That's true for you as well. If you turned away from God for a while, he's not turned away from you if you turn back to him and just listen to him and go his way. And remarkably, even in the middle of Jonah's disobedience, God still used Jonah to reveal himself to the sailors. There's this irony really. There's Jonah. His whole attitude again was wrong regarding God. Yet even then, through Jonah, these sailors had a kind of conversion. They prayed to the living God through this man who was going the wrong way. But God was in control. God sent a storm. Literally, God hurled a storm. I must remember that on the way to the Isle of Man. If it's a bit wet, God hurled this. But God hurled a storm. It was obviously a big storm. There's a certain irony. You know, in the situation, everything in nature obeyed God. Even the weather obeyed God. The sailors obeyed God. Everyone except God's servant, Jonah. The heathen captain rebuked Jonah to call on God. He said, you call yourself one of God's people, why aren't you praying? The sailors took action the best they could. They cast lots to find out who was responsible. And it's revealed to them. They asked Jonah, what do you do? Where do you come from? And when he told them he was fleeing, not just from anybody, not even just from any God. He was fleeing from the God of heaven who made the sea and the land. They were terrified. Even though it didn't seem to terrify Jonah at all. They asked, what should we do to make the sea calm down? Jonah replied, throw me into the sea. That's a very noble thing to say, isn't it? Throw me into the sea. And he admitted it was his fault. They still tried their best to save Jonah, but it was hopeless. All they could do was cry out to Jonah's God for forgiveness, and then threw Jonah into the sea, and the sea became calm. And our final verse that Christine read, verse 16, at this the men greatly feared the Lord. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. So we leave it there with Jonah sinking down into the depths of the sea. Whatever's going to happen next. We keep in suspense for 2 weeks until Andrew will reveal it all. But just remember the 3 points, because it's so important for us to obey whatever God's telling you to do now, or telling you to stop doing something. Just do what he says. It's far better in the end. Care. And this is a challenge for us who are Christians, particularly we're comfortable, we're encouraged by each other's fellowship. But where is God calling us to go? Whom is he calling us to share Jesus with? And finally, to trust him. Even when the storms of life come along, he really is in control. It may be part of your own fault. Lord, I've brought this on myself. But if we turn to God, he hasn't turned away from us. He ought to turn away from me and all of us. But he hasn't. He's still there. If we just turn back to him, like the prodigal son turned back to his father, he's there. And maybe that's a word for us today. So let's pray, shall we? Father God, you know each of us. You know the various ways in which maybe this first chapter of Jonah is your word to us. Whether it's in terms of whether we obey, whether we care for people who need to hear about you, whether we're trusting you in a crisis. Oh Lord, help us to take on board this morning that this message was meant for us. And may we seek your help to obey completely for your name's sake. Amen.